Welcome, welcome to everyone tuning in from near and far. This is Red Ice Radio, headquartered in Sweden. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and on our websites, redicecreations.com and redicemembers.com, we have much more for you guys to dig into, if you so please. Today, we're talking with Mark Passio. He's an independent researcher, public speaker, radio talk show host, conference organizer, and freedom activist from Philadelphia over in the States. Mark has undertaken the task of assembling vast amounts of research in the areas of metaphysics, occultism, spirituality, symbology, and consciousness studies. Today, we are going to look at and run through the points of critique that he has on the New Age. Good day, Mark. Welcome back. Nice to speak to you again. Nice to hear your voice. I hope you've been well since we talked a few years ago now, actually. So it's been a while.
Henrik, thank you so much for inviting me back onto Red Ice Creations. It's a pleasure to be here. And yes, it's long overdue. We did this about maybe a year and a half ago, and I'm really thrilled to be back on the program.
Very good, very good. So are we now New Age bullshit and the suppression of the sacred masculine. A very informative and I have to say entertaining presentation as well, Mark, that I want to talk more with you about today. You had some really good points in there, but why don't you, if you will, tell us a bit how this unfolded for you and kind of why you wanted to do some of this, in this presentation. Did you get, fed up with some of the blanket statements within the New Age or what happened there, Mark?
Yeah, that's part of it. You know, it's been a long time coming, this presentation that I put out and went into it in an extended format on my podcast. And it's because when I, talk to people in different movements and different types of activists, you hear a lot of these deceptions being repeated, almost as if people have heard them and they just spout them off really without thinking, because it's a program is what it is. And, coming across people in different movements, you see a lot of New Agers and you hear a lot of the things that they say. And it's an anathema to real freedom, in my view. The things that they're talking about cannot lead to real freedom because very much of it is based in ignorance. And they don't have a true healthy desire to really know the truth about what's going on, because let's face it, the truth is not pretty. The truth is ugly at this point at this time in history on this planet. Yep. I don't think anybody who's really paying attention would disagree with that. So the people who are really going to get it and understand what's necessary and what's required to obtaining true freedom at this point in time are the ones who are going to have the constitution to look at the ugly truth, no matter how seemingly heinous and disappointing and, overwhelming it may seem to be. They're the ones who are going to trudge through that. They're going to have the will to trudge through that, and they're going to see it and find it for what it is and recognize that and confront it and deal with it in their own way. The New Agers, on the other hand, seem to be a group to me that is hell-bent on ignoring reality. They want to see the world through rose-colored glasses, and they want to pretend that it's all okay. It's all magically going to work out, regardless of whether we become knowledgeable, regardless of whether we actually understand what's taking place around us, and most of all, regardless of whether we take action to change it, because that's really what the New Age movement is a religion, as a religion, what it is designed to do is to make people stand down from taking real world action that will change the eventualities that are actually going to occur and are occurring in our world. That's going to take action. Action is the final part of that equation. See, we have to gain knowledge, and then we have to understand all those different and various and seemingly disparate pieces of knowledge, come to a level of understanding that would constitute a form of enlightenment, of really knowing what's going on both within us and around us. Then we have to convert that knowledge and understanding into wisdom. And this is a word that gets thrown around in a lot of the New Age circles. And I don't think many of the New Agers really deeply understand what wisdom truly is. Wisdom isn't knowledge, and wisdom isn't understanding. Wisdom is what you do physically in the world with those things, your actual behaviors, your actions, as they relate to others in the world. It's what you do with what you know. That's what wisdom is. And that's the part of the equation that seems to be completely missing or largely missing. I won't make a blanket statement and say it's completely missing, but it's largely missing and or suppressed in the New Age community, because they're all about the thought process and about the emotional process. But when you get into the realm of actually becoming an activist and taking action in the real world, that's where you see this suppressed aspect of the movement and the people who follow it. And there's so many different varied deceptions that go along with that suppression. And it's all about an imbalance in the brain hemisphere. You know, it's about being too right-brained. We've spoken right. a lot about people who are too left-brained. But this religion is about keeping people in the right brain modality so that they will not take action in the real world.
Well, exactly. That's a good point. I think as there is attention and focus on one side specifically, it's very important to switch over and then, you know, for the sake of balancing the discussion out, look at the other side. But I mean, for any seeker who is serious about authentic answers and wants to know, we have to examine, question, discuss in order to test and validate, find weak spots. Does it make sense? Does it hold water? This is, you know, it's an ongoing, quest for us. But what I appreciate, you know, with your particular perspective on this as well, Mark, is that you're not, you know, against, per se, esoteric knowledge or occult knowledge. I mean, you come from that right. world, if you will. I mean, you don't poo-poo yes. it as some kind of pagan nonsense or occult, evil, satanic, you know, proposition, whatever. You take the position that there are very powerful properties within this knowledge that it simply, you know, has been used against us and the New Age movement has been, you know, created and kind of taken shape around some of these aspects as well. But one thing before we kind of go deeper into some of your points of critique here, did you right. get some time to kind of, have you examined yet of who is behind the, who's been propagating the New Age movement? Or is that something you're going to kind of save for a later, interest, perhaps a detailed presentation on that?
I could go into that a little bit. My take on that is it's twofold. The highest levels of it that are putting out some of the most subtle forms of deception, I would say, are the dark occultists that are behind the entire control system. You know, these are people that are behind the so-called educational system, the banking and financial industry, military-industrial complex, world religions. It's the same occult cabal that many researchers talked about for decades, who I simply refer to as dark occultists. These are people who understand occult knowledge and twist it and use it to their advantage over people who are ignorant of it. It's knowledge of how the human psyche works and how the laws of nature work. That's the two main bodies of knowledge that comprise occulted knowledge or hidden knowledge. And, if you're in a mindset that is very low consciousness and has a total desire to control everything around you, which these dark occultists are, you'll use that as a power differential, because a differential in knowledge can be easily converted to a differential in power. And that's what these people who are very knowledgeable are doing. You know, they're using that knowledge to control other people. If you don't know anything about how the psyche works, but someone else does, you're wide open to manipulation of the human psyche. Yeah. If you don't know how the laws of nature work, but someone else does, they can understand how a natural process is working and manipulate you with it because you have no idea how it works. So that's who I feel is ultimately behind it. But, that's not to say that everybody who touts and propagates New Age ideologies are dark occultists. Many of them are doing what they feel is right and what resonates to their level of understanding. And many of them could simply be useful dupes that are being fed ideas that are have a ring of truth to them, but then have a very subtle deception behind them that, again, will work together. All these ideas put together are working together as a synthesis to ultimately get people to stand down from taking action. That's what has to be remembered. When I say the suppression of the sacred masculine, it means the suppression of the action component of consciousness. Again, a consciousness, the expression for consciousness having three major components: our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. The New Age movement focuses a lot on the thoughts and the emotions, but they most of the time leave action out of the equation. And that's what I mean by the suppression of the masculine. That component is what's ultimately going to create change in the world through our will. And if that's absent, you're not going to see any change in the external world. I don't care how many people are going to change internally. You know, if you don't actually take real world action, nothing actually gets rearranged in the actual physical real world that we are living in. And that's part of the whole thing in the New Age movement, is that a lot of these people are very right-brained to begin with, and now they're being given these ideas that, oh, it's all about the spiritual world, and the physical reality that we live in doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter what happens here. I hear this so much from New Agers. You know, that doesn't make a difference. It's a very religionistic of worldview. It's a religionist view of reality, that spirit is superior to matter. You know, it's the exact opposite of, you know, your materialist worldview or your scientism worldview, that matter is completely dominant and superior to spirit. Well, I look at this as a balanced approach. Both of these kinds of worldviews that I've just talked about, whether it be a religionist or a materialist worldview, are imbalanced worldviews. There's a balanced worldview that brings both matter and spirit together and says none of them are superior or inferior. They are both important. They are both components to reality. Both need to be understood and respected. And we need to be in this world, but not of it. That means we understand that we're spiritual beings at a higher level of reality, but that doesn't mean you don't do the work that needs to be done here on the ground to change this reality, because this is where spirit is manifesting in order to have an experience.
Indeed. Two parts to our brain. We have you can divide this in many different aspects, of course, but one of the points we've been kind of getting at here is that you have a masculine and an action side, and then a feminine, more introvert, kind of reflective side, if you will. But
right.
Again, we have some of these kind of popular beliefs, if you will, that kind of prop up within certain movements, that one of this is kind of faulty. One is old, it's outdated, it's, you know, it's violent, it's the part that, you know, rapes and takes advantage of other people, blah, blah, blah. But and that's the reason why, you know, the world looks that it does. You know, basically we have too much testosterone, and we can blame all men out there. It's very, again, it's one of these blanket statements. But what right. I like about your work, Mark, is that you're actually trying to bridge some of these aspects. You're trying to bridge the two worlds, and the fact that we have two for a reason. We need to find the balance between them. And as long as we're stuck in this pendulum momentum of swinging back and forth, we're going to not only be easily controlled, we're going to get nowhere in our own spiritual development. Tell us about that, Mark.
That's exactly right. And that's what the controllers want. They want half of the public divided and being dominators, trapped in the left brain and willing to act without truly thinking or feeling. And then they want the other half of the people trapped in the right brain, laying down to the control system in a slave think mentality and not actually rising up and taking action and standing up for their rights. So both of these are forms of imbalance. What I'm saying is we need to bring both of these sides of the brain together. See, the right side of the brain is very important when taking in new knowledge. That's why a very left-brained person is closed to new information. They think that they know it all or have all the pieces that they need for a current understanding, and it's like trying to pour water into a full pitcher. You can't do it. You know, room needs to be made. That's what the right brain is for. The right brain is the part that takes in new information, okay? And it opens our minds and it says, well, I'm going to look into this and be able to hear all different varying positions on it without actually totally accepting it and embracing it. But I'm going to take it in at least and say, okay, what do I do with it now? Now that I've taken it in and I've heard or I've seen that, I'm going to run it through the left brain processor. Okay, so the right brain is like an aggregator of all these seemingly disparate pieces of information. And then that information will get sent to the linear processor called the left brain. And that's where things like analyzing that information comes in and breaking it down and attempting to run it through a filter system that's going to weed out inconsistencies. And this is part of the truth discovery process. And then once we've done that with the left brain, we come to a level of understanding. Well, what did this all mean? What was the purpose of this? Why did it work out like this? How was this done? We answer all of these different questions, and we get down to an understanding of what's going on. And then in that whole brain approach, okay, now that we have created a holistic approach to truth discovery, now we can act in the world. And if we do it in that holistic way, the actions and the behaviors that we take are going to be consistent with natural law. They're going to be consistent with the truth. And what we create in the world as a result of those behaviors is going to be orderly instead of chaotic. Right now, we have a very half-system approach. It's either a left-brain approach of acting without really thinking and taking in new information and analyzing it and coming to a conclusion about it. It's just, you know, basically acting without thinking or feeling in a very robotic way. That's a purely left brain dominator type mindset. Okay. I can do this, or I've been told that I'm allowed to do this, and then I just go and act. Okay. It's an order follower mindset. And that combines with a right brain approach, because an order follower also has to be subservient to someone else. So you could see both sides of the brain are imbalanced when it comes to an order follower and someone who is attempting to act as a dominator in the world. On the other side, if we're too right-brained, we're willing to believe anything and just be naive and accept all these claims of authority over us and accept these claims that, oh, well, this person's the intermediary between me and the creator of the universe. Mm. And that, you know, I have to go through him like a priest or, you know, something like that. And the right-brained person will always look to an authority figure and say, well, I can't actually act on my own. I need approval, or I need permission, etc. So you see how these two dynamics of imbalance play off against each other to give us the world that we have right now. And what I'm saying is we have to work with both of these hemispheres of the brain equally in proportion, so that we are taking in information and seeing the big picture through the right brain, but we're also doing it in a streetwise type of way, and in a way that is not gullible, because we're analyzing that information and filtering it through the left brain to weed out logical inconsistencies and get down to a real understanding of truth, of what is true in all of that information that is being put before us. So it's an approach that where both of these processors, you could look at the right brain as the serial processor, and the left brain as a series processor. Okay. I'm sorry. The right brain is a parallel processor. Okay. It's processing things in parallel with each other and sees the full big picture. But then the left brain is the series processor that actually takes in all the pieces of information in a linear progression and filters them and says, does this make sense? You know, let me look into this a little bit deeper and compare it with this, you know, and it's providing that filtration system for all those pieces of knowledge so that we can, again, weed out the logical inconsistencies and come to an accurate understanding of what it all means. When we use that whole-brained approach, that's when we're going to take action in the right way. We're going to take action that is consistent with right behavior, meaning morally right behavior. And when we do that, those behaviors, again, are in harmony with natural law, in harmony with morality. And therefore, the results that we create are going to be orderly. They're going to create order instead of creating things that we don't want, that we say we don't want. So if we take that whole holistic, full-brained approach, we're going to have the things that we say we want in life: peace, freedom, justice, prosperity. If we don't take that approach and we stay in these different levels of imbalance that things like government, the monetary system, religion of all kind, New Age movement, belief systems keep us in, we're going to continue to get chaotic results, all the things that we say we do not want. discord in the world, war, strife, poverty, ill health, disease, and ultimately enslavement. So that's what it's all about. It is about finding and striking that balance point. And that comes from not being a dominator and also not being gullible and just accepting domination. So we have to understand both the sacred feminine principle: do not aggress, do not create violence against your fellow beings, do not the non-aggression principle. And we have to combine that with the principle of standing up for yourself and for your rights, which is the self-defense principle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I want to talk more about defense and action and kind of how this has been, try to be, take this out of the equation pretty much. But just to go back to your original point there, you know, you could say then that you've heard the saying, you know, the mind is like a parachute. It doesn't work unless it's open, you know, but
right.
Although it's important to have an open mind, you know, when it's so open that your brain falls out. You know,
that's right.
You have speculation and you have belief and openness, which is great to prevent us from becoming, you know, too rigid or fall into the trap of, you know, confirmation bias and everything else. But we also have to use our rational mind and utilize our brain's, you know, firewall pretty much, or develop one if we don't have it, in order to not believe everything we read online or hear from the media. You know, examine both the alternative and the mainstream, monitor those ports and become aware of what is trying to sneak in the back door. But how do you think that we can kind of unite, if you will, then the internal dichotomy, or rather what we've been told is a dichotomy?
Well, again, that comes from gathering information from an eclectic variety of sources. You have to become a generalist, is really what the answer to that question is. You can't get your information from just one place. You have to look at all sources of information together and then aggregate all of that, bring it all together, and then, again, run it through that filtration process so that you weed out what doesn't make sense. I call it an integral approach. Again, it's a holistic and integral approach to truth discovery. And this means that you don't limit yourself to boxes for consciousness. See, most people, when they take in information, they already have a little box they're trying to get it into.
Yeah.
And this, I call it the five boxes for consciousness. Okay. It's like a nickname or a little phrase I've coined for it.
Right.
So you have the religious box for consciousness. And when I say that, I mean the cultural religions, okay? So if this doesn't fit in with what I've been told in my religious system, my religious background, then it's got to be thrown out without being looked into. Then you have another box for consciousness. You have the political box. Well, this information doesn't fit in with my liberal worldview. It doesn't fit in with me and my identity as a Democrat, or my identity as a conservative Republican. Well, then it has to be thrown out. It can't possibly be true. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know that. Take that away from me. I'm not going to look into that. That's the second box for consciousness. Then you have a third box. I call it the financial box for consciousness, okay? Well, this is speaking out against my views of money and finance, okay? And how I think that this market has to work, or this monetary system has to work. And this is saying, no, that isn't necessary, or that, you know, might be holding us back. Well, I can't listen to that then. That's the third box for consciousness. Then you have a fourth one. You have what I call scientism. It's not science. It's science as a religion. It's science from such a rigidly left-brain skeptical approach that there's no room for knowledge that doesn't fall into what we think we already have figured out and know, and that's wrapped up with a tiny little bow on top of it. You know, we can't look at any information that's contrary to that, because, oh, you know, that doesn't fit into our paradigm, our worldview. So that's scientism, science as a religion. And then the fifth one is the New Age movement. The New Age movement is another box for consciousness. You know, it's a religion just like all these other religions, like politics is a religion, like money is a religion, you know, government. The New Age movement is a religion, just like a cultural religion. People don't look at it as a religion, though. You know, they look at it, oh, well, this is spirituality. And true spirituality, I wouldn't categorize as a religion, but what I'm calling the New Age movement, with these deceptive beliefs that we're going to get into, I do consider a religion. It is a religion. See, it's part of a dialectical approach. Dialects means you're giving somebody a choice, but ultimately it's getting them to come to the same conclusion. So, you know, where if the Democrat aspect of something doesn't work, well, then somebody must be a Republican. That's the dialectic. And then the bottom line is they both partake in the, you know, evil system that's being propagated. You know, it's the same thing with religion. Well, if for instance, Buddhism doesn't appeal to somebody, well, you can take Taoism, or you could, you know, look at the principles of Islam, or you could look at Christianity or Judaism. And they're just different choices that all are ultimately part of the same basic structure of a belief in something outside of yourself that you have to supplicate yourself to, and ultimately it's going to somehow save you, that you don't really have to truly change your behaviors and your actions, that this is belief is going to be more important. And this is largely what the New Age movement is about. It's about saying, well, it's about what I believe. It's about what I've been told how this works instead of really looking into how it works for oneself and discovering it and saying, I'm going to just take that. I'm going to act on belief, okay, because it's a right brain modality that works through belief. And I'm going to take it in part of me because I'm comfortable with this. It's the same exact way any religion works. And it's the same exact reason that people stay attached to whatever religious background that they are raised in. It's a cultural identity. And the New Age movement is a new cultural identity that has been brought up. And again, it's all about identifying with this movement and identifying with this subset of beliefs that come under the New Age banner. It's not really about going wherever the truth leads one to go, no matter how uncomfortable it is. These people have very rigid lines in the sand that they have drawn. And they're saying, well, I'm not interested about really knowing what's true. This is how my belief system. This is what, you know, I've read about this in this book or listened to this in this, video series. And I've accepted that this is just how it is and how it works. And now I've made that part of my identity. See, it differs from what I would consider the works of real, true consciousness. Similar, let's just compare it to something that I've done. With my podcast series or with my videos, one of the first things I tell people is do not believe me. You are under no obligation to believe and accept and incorporate everything I'm saying as being true.
Yeah.
You have to look into this for yourself. This isn't a religion. It's not a belief system. It's what the information I've amassed, analyzed, determined for myself to the level of my ability that it is the way things actually are. And now I'm putting this back out into the world for review. That's what the scientific method does. That's how it works. You observe, you make a hypothesis, you observe, you test, and then you publish the results. And that's really all I'm doing is putting the information out there that I've aggregated over many, many years of research. And I'm telling people this isn't there to be believed. It's not a religion. It's not scientism. Okay, it's there to help to give people this information if they want to look at it, and they can go out into other sources, eclectic sources, and they can compare it, and they can analyze it for themselves and decide if they come to similar conclusions or not. So that's where I would clearly separate work like what myself and many other researchers like yourself have done, putting out information into the world for other people's perusal and for their edification and for them to do their own due diligence with.
Yep, right.
Versus what a religion does is tell you, well, here's how it is. You need to accept that and then believe in it and then just, don't accept anything in to the contrary. And I think many of the New Age beliefs fall into that category. And again, I don't want to make a blanket statement there and say it's all like that. There are some good prospects and good teachings in the New Age community, but there's these deceptions that are omnipresent there that I think are very dangerous and they're very subtle. And that's what I've broken down in that extended 7-hour podcast that I highly encourage people to check out.
Absolutely. There's a lot of good stuff in there, and we'll get to some of these points as well here, of course. But would you say, that it's more that the New Age, and you've put a quotation, of course, within new, because we realize that it's fastly rooted in older principles, but it's more nebulous than a religion as well. Despite there being very much the same ideas being repeated within it, if you will, it doesn't really have any accepted scriptures, right? It kind of transforms as it becomes happens to be popular, as something new is kind of added onto it, which might kind of give the illusion that it's not a religion, right?
That's right. See, it's a diversified movement that has the characteristics of a religion. So let's look at the first aspect that you brought up there, the new in quotes. When I talk about the New Age movement, I put the word new in double quotations. And that's because it's not really something that's new. This is a deception that's been there since time immemorial. And again, it's to target half of the target audience, okay? You'll get people participating in the politics game on one side of the equation. These are more the left brain people who believe that government needs to exist. We need control in the world in some form or another. And, government's a good idea, so I'm going to get involved in that whole game. And that's a religion. The whole monetary system is a religion. You got very many left brain individuals involved in that as well. Who are just about ego gratification and, hedonism and control, etc. The New Age is for the people who don't fall into that modality of consciousness, that left brain aspect. It's for people who like to be controlled or like to have, you know, something, again, over them, okay, that is basically giving them something to feel safe under, like many religions. You know, religion is for the right-brained in general. I'm talking about cultural religions and what I would call the New Age movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's for people that, you know, they don't really use their will. They are passive. They're willing to accept and not actively use the will to change things. So that's what this whole set of beliefs is ultimately for. At the highest level, it's to keep people in that right brain modality so that they don't turn into somebody who's taking action to really try to change things in the world. So you could say that this is something that's given to people who are of a more docile, right-brained, and passive modality. If you wanted to be a little bit more harsh, you would say that, you know, what really the ruling class is doing is trying to create a dominator class and a slave class simultaneously. So if you were going to be more harsh about it, you would say that the religionists of the world, including the New Age movement, are they're the slaves that are being targeted with this right brain modality to keep them in the acceptance of their slavery. And that's what I see the New Age movement as. It's largely comprised of people who are generally willing to accept slavery. Yeah. Because hardly any of these people are activists in the political realm. They're not people who are going to stand up and take a stance against government. When was the last time you heard Wayne Dyer say something to the effect that government is slavery? You'll never hear him say anything like that.
Right.
He'll never make a statement like that because he's not about making any real waves. It's about acceptance. Okay. It's not about actually changing something in the real world, physically changing it. Okay, it's about, well, you got to do your work on yourself, and that's all it's about. It's only about yourself. That's one of the big deceptions in the New Age movement, that spiritual work is only about changing yourself, and it's never about influencing others, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
So it's been there to pacify, you know, as you mentioned before, action, defense, some of these other properties that are very, very important in times of, you know, in perilous times, I guess we should say. And it seems to me, Mark, that the work that's been going on with the social engineering in the last, well, really a couple of hundred years here now, but has been about trying to eradicate some of the basic human drives that has to do with these aspects of defense and everything else. And again, of completely considering that violence is something that never has any properties to it that can be beneficial or good when it comes to, like, you know, defending your friends or your family or, you know, people in your community, what have you. It's been, right. Again, it's a very, just a blanket statement. It's very kind of one size fits all modality, right? So
I fully agree with that, except for the usage of the word violence. I would just say defensive force, because violence is something that never has any good use because it's always wrong. It's always against natural law. And I think that's what some of the research community, the alternative research community, should really try to emphasize and stress that violence and force are not the same thing. Violence and the defensive use of force are not the same thing.
Yep.
It's another subtle aspect of the New Age movement that has been really has deceived people over, you know, many, many, many years of time. You know, force is the capacity to do work or create physical change in the world. And force can be used in a moral capacity. Violence, on the other hand, is the initiation of immoral and coercive action that one never possesses the right to take against their fellow human beings. It's starting trouble with somebody else that you had no right to, and it's an action you had no right to initiate because it involves the violation of someone else's natural rights. That's why it's called violence. It derives from the term violation. Well, if you're violating someone else's rights, you are doing violence unto them. That's the behavior called violence. That should never be engaged in. Force, on the other hand, if someone is engaged in doing violence unto you, if they initiated the force, there is an inherent right if the person will not stop and will not desist in their violent behavior, to use defensive force against that person to stop them from continuing the violence that they have initiated. And this is where many of the New Age people shut down. They don't want to hear that. They believe that there's never a time to physically use force against someone else. And again, that's part of that right-brained imbalance. It's saying, well, even if somebody is doing something harmful to you, you don't have the right to stop them physically by force from continuing to do that harm. That's what a lot of New Agers believe. That's what a lot of very right-brained individuals believe. Even people who believe in government believe that. They would say, oh, that's what government is for. That's what the police force is for. You don't have that right. And I'm here to tell you that you absolutely do have that right. And if you don't exercise it, that right's going to be taken away from you, and largely is being taken away from you right now in the world by this belief system. This belief system is instrumental in getting that right taken away from many people. And if we give up that right, we're finished. We're going to be in full bondage, in hot bondage, instead of the lukewarm type of bondage that we're in a soft dictatorship. It's going to become a hot totalitarian police state once that right is laid down. And I don't think they're going to get people in this country to fully lay down that right, because the culture of self-defense and the culture of being able to defend yourself with firearms is very entrenched here in the United States. They may have taken it in many other places in the world, but here they're going to have one hell of a time getting that one done, I can assure you.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's definitely, and I've always questioned as well, Mark, if this is part of the plan to a certain extent, you know, try to utilize the dialectic, the splitting apart of realities almost, where it's evidence that people are so extremely polarized that it literally is like they're living on different planets. And so when these worldviews collide, it's like, oh my God, you know, just like there's no communication going on in between these worlds, and they're getting increasingly further apart. And at the same time, then you have a buildup of a tension because of that. And I've always questioned, you know, I wonder if they're going to try to use that to really crack down from a point of view of military and police and government of actually trying to go after, if you will, the people who are ready to defend themselves in the manner that you just talked about.
I think that's what all of these false flags with shootings are all about, you know, trying to prepare people's mindset for saying we have to take your ability to defend yourself away from you.
Yeah.
Because look at what these so-called lone gunman lunatics have done. That's part of it. You know, and you mentioned the word attention in what you said, and that's another part of this. In the communication between people, to really understand these concepts and how subtle some of them are, you need an attention span. And that's unfortunately part of what the New Age movement and the right-brained imbalance is all about destroying. See, it's about being able to go into a meditative state, but how about the concentrative state? Isn't that just as important as meditation?
Right.
See, there's three modalities of thought. There's meditation, concentration, that's left brain and linear and analytic thought. And then there's contemplation, which brings both of them together. And if again, I've done this on my podcast in the past, but if you break down every one of those words, it all means coming together to the middle. Every one of those terms has a breakdown that means bringing it to the center. Like concentration means coming to the center, centra, right? Meditation, medi, means middle in Latin, okay?
Yep.
So it's about, if there's left brain imbalance, you want to employ, so if somebody's chronically in the left brain modality and they're not ever engaging the right brain aspects of thought, you want to engage in meditation, because that'll help to bring balance to a chronically left-brained imbalanced individual. Well, a chronically right-brained imbalanced individual has a hard time concentrating. They can you know, multitask and do all these things simultaneously. But when you ask them, can you bring some laser focus to the table right here for what we're doing right in the here and now? It can be very difficult for them because they're used to being all over the place. So focus and attention could be difficult. That's concentrative thinking. And that means bringing it to the middle if you're too far over toward the right side of the brain modalities.
Very important. Yeah.
Yes. Then keeping them there at the center is contemplative thought, contemplation, contemplative thought. Okay, that'll keep it there once it's at the middle, once it's at a balanced place. You want to be contemplative, and that's sort of an active meditation. It's a way of just running scenarios through the mind, envisioning things. You know, using active envisioning techniques, and that's a part meditative exercise and a part concentrative exercise. So that's using both modalities simultaneously. So, you know, you ask people who are of a right brain bent already, that are have a New Age belief system that they're already subscribed to watch a podcast that is, you know, 7 hours long. And most of them will say, well, I'm not willing to do that at all. I can't sit through something for 7 hours and pay attention to it. Well, see, they'll say, well, why can't you tell this story in half an hour? It's not meant to be told in a half an hour. There's so many different components to it. There's so many different angles to look at it from. I could have went for 12 or 13 hours or more.
Sure.
The whole point is, if you want to really break something down and understand it from an analytical point of view, and how many different barrages, the different simultaneous attacks that are coming at people's mind as part of this program, you have to take it slow. And take it at your own pace, but pay attention and analyze it and understand it and pick it apart and break it down. And that's a concentrative approach. Believe me, I will shake anyone's hand and commend them for sitting through my 7-hour broadcast called New Age Bullshit and the Suppression of the Sacred Masculine. That's an accomplishment. I commend you for doing that. Some people have told me I've gone through it 3 times already. I'm like, oh my God, wow. I myself haven't listened back to it through it 3 times. I checked it out once after I did it to make sure I did a good job with it.
Right.
You know, and I felt that I did and therefore put it out there. But, you know, I didn't even listen to it that many times. So, you know, I commend anybody for doing something like that. And it shows that they have a will and a desire, and they have a hunger for looking into this information, and they're going to, you know, not necessarily take all of it, but they'll take the pieces that resonate with them, and they'll combine it as part of an integral approach to their process of truth discovery. And that's all I ask for the right brain people to do as well. Give this information a chance. Take it all in. You don't have to even do it all in one shot. Take it in at your own pace. I tell people that with my podcasts. You know, different people have different paces and approaches for information. Some can take more. Some can only take small bits at a time. You don't have to listen to it in a 7-hour shot, one-time shot. Listen to it in sections. Listen to an hour a day for a week. Hey, that wouldn't be too bad. If you want to stretch it out over 2 weeks, take a half an hour and listen to a half an hour a day. And, you know, mark the time of the video or the audio and go back and pick it up from that point. You know, take it at your own pace, but take it in its entirety. You know, don't listen to 5 minutes and say, well, I know this, or he's moving too slow here or too fast here, and then just drop it. Go through the whole thing. It's meant to be taken as a tapestry, to see it in its entirety. You listen to a tiny bit, you're only going to get a tiny bit of the picture. You're not going to see the whole picture. So that's part of overcoming right brain imbalance, to use the will to finish something that you have started, to use the will to pay attention, to use the will to concentrate, to use your will to analyze. That's so important if the person's already in a right brain state of imbalance, to help bring that to a balance point in the middle. And I'm not saying go too far to the left either, because then you'll start being a dominator and one that overanalyzes things and picks everything apart ad nauseum. You know, you need to see the big picture, but you also need to be able to see all the different components that comprise it. That's what holistic brain thinking, connecting both brain hemispheres across the middle, the corpus callosum of the brain, and they call that global EEG coherence, when the whole brain is working in a holistic fashion and there's neural activity across the entirety of the neocortex of the brain. That's what we're shooting for, because that's when you're in the best position to learn, to understand, and to take right action.
Very important. Now, you're right in that point as well, that a lot of people have very short attention spans. They want to have it, you know, summarized for it, you know, for me, this in 10 minutes. You know, there's like the focus groups have been done. You know, it's been proven that people can't concentrate for more than 10 minutes. So let's play that game, you know, and then not try to encourage people to actually, you know, have a deeper sense of concentration. It's very problematic. And then, of course, as you say, you have people who they listen to 5 or 10 minutes, but then they're ready to, you know, fight you on it right away without actually, you know, getting the whole picture. But nonetheless, we have to appeal to the people who are, who have a deep and sincere, authentic interest in actually, you know, learning. And then for, from that point of view, you know, realize what's been said and then, you know, break it down or critique it or add to it or whatever you have, you know. But it's very, you know, unbalanced on so many different levels today, Mark. And it feels to me that it's war and it's conflict at every you know position that we move, basically. And even the fact that when you're trying to point out some of these errors, then that's seen as an attack, that's seen as an aggressive right. thing. And it's, you know, it's very difficult, it's very convoluted, isn't it?
Yeah, what you're seeing there in that interaction, in that dynamic, is this right-brained form of imbalance, because someone who is in the right brain is going to constantly be taking things personally. They're going to be hallmark of right-brained imbalance. One of the hallmarks of it is that you are ruled by the emotions. The emotions aren't things that are, as they are intended to be, are a guidance system for our moral direction in life. We're meant to feel the results of what we have physically done, the behaviors that we have taken in the physical world toward other people. We're meant to feel that physiologically in the body. That's what the role of the emotions are for. And to make deep interpersonal connections with other human beings as well, of course.
Right, right.
When the emotions become chronically over-dominant and we're living through the emotions, we're not using the emotions as a guidance system. We're making them our identity, right? Two things will happen. We will try to gauge all information based on how it makes us feel. Now, this is one of the worst ways you could ever possibly take in or try to analyze information. I tell people almost universally at the beginning of my presentations, I call this, my term for it is emotional mind control, okay? And what this means is the person is trapped in a modality of thought whereby they are attempting to gauge the veracity or the truthfulness of information based upon how it makes them feel upon first hearing and seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the worst way you can judge information for its truthfulness. And this is what the mainstream media plays on, right? Because do they want to do?
Oh, yeah.
They want to get people to accept what they're saying. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a lie. They want you to accept it and then act on it. So what they're going to do is they're going to do everything they can to appeal to your emotions. They're going to talk in a pleasant and sweet and pleasing tone. And see, the reason I refuse to engage in those behaviors is because I'm trying to decondition people from that. I'm not interested in trying to look like a slick car salesman, okay, and then talking in an NPR, calm, soothing voice, like who's a person who's talking to a little child trying to get them to take their medicine, okay? I'm treating people as someone that I respect, have respect for as an individual, and would talk to them like I would any person that I'm friends with or a member of my family or anybody like that. I'm not going to sugarcoat something. I'm never going to do that. That will never be my approach, ever. If you're waiting for that, you will be waiting forever, because I'm about putting the truth out there in very easy to understand terms, but also very straightforward in as simple language as is possible. Sometimes you have to explain a more complex term and elaborate on it, but I'm not going to try to overcomplicate the language, and I'm not going to sugarcoat something because it's unpleasant for you to hear. I'm going to say it the way that it actually is, and the point is, people who are trapped in this right brain imbalance, they feel that something has to be said to them in a nice way. Okay. Otherwise, they have to throw it out. Like, I got an email and one person said, "You sound angry in this talk that you gave on the New Age movement, or you sound angry in this talk that you gave regarding where human consciousness is at right now. And therefore, I don't have time to listen to any of that because that's going to bring me down."
Right. Right.
Well, turn it off and good luck to you, sir or ma'am. You know, nobody's forcing you to listen to anything. You, my answer to that is you're not ready to receive this information because you want it tailored to how you want it to sound. See, in other words, your emotions are saying to you, if this person's voice doesn't resonate with me or agree with to my liking, to my preference, well then forget about the information he's saying. So
yeah, it's not how it's being said. It's how it's being said. It's a focus on the peripheral. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. And that's part of right brain imbalance. Right brain imbalance. If someone's in right brain imbalance, okay, they're going to be focused on how something sounds, not what's being said. So in other words, somebody in a real right brain modality will love a liar like Barack Obama. Because he can get up there, tell everybody all kinds of lies, as long as he puts a nice face on, a nice, you know, multi-$1,000 suit on, and speaks in a calm and gentle tone, he could be spouting all kinds of lies about all these promises that what he's going to do, then actually get in office and do the exact opposite of all those things. His actual behavior will not be in alignment at all with what he said. And many of these people still love this person because all they're listening to is the sound of his voice, and all they're doing is looking at how he looks, his physical appearance. Well, if that's what you're gauging how good a human being is, and that's if how you're gauging how good the behaviors of a human being are, I don't know how you could possibly go more off track than try to gauge things like that.
Yeah.
That's the hallmark that you are trapped in the right brain, okay?
That's a study in itself, by the way, Mark, you know, in terms of acting and everything else and how to put things on and do it in the right way. I mean, the presidents have been doing this for, you know, did you ever see the documentary, The Spin, you know, that showed the backdrop, choosing and all the components to this was very, very planned out. And it was like, my God, that's like 101 conspiracy, you know. We gotta understand that at this stage, you know.
It's a very studied dynamic. These people really know what they're doing with neuro-linguistic programming, and they really know how to get into the subconscious emotional makeup of another human being. You know, this is why it's so important when it comes to particularly my work and other researchers' work. There's other researchers that take the same tact and the same approach, and I love their approach. I'm the exact opposite. I love a person who's not afraid to come in and slap you around a little bit and say, hey, get your head out from up your rear end, boy, girl, because you're not paying attention to what really needs to be paid attention to. I love that approach. For me, that is somebody who's saying, I'm taking the chance that I will offend you, but I'm still going to say what I know to be true. And somehow that resonates with me more deeply than the person that wants to go get the most expensive clothes, the nicest clothes they can wear, get the manicure and the haircut, and you know, just dress up so beautifully, and then put this sweet, pleasant tone on your voice, like, okay, boys and girls, like I have no time for that. You know, that to me is somebody who is, you're trying to sell something. You know, that you know I don't really need, or that might lead me astray somehow. You might be selling me a lemon. I'm much more, and I'm not saying I'll ignore people like that. I'll listen to their
information. It's just not your approach.
I'm much more susceptible to looking at that suspiciously, okay, than somebody who's coming out and saying, hey, here's the way it is in a plain voice. I'm not going to disguise my voice. This is how I talk. You know, and I'm just going to tell you the way it is from my perspective. And this is part of why I open a lot of my presentations with explaining to people that if you're going to pull real value out of what I talk about, you know, you're going to watch one of my videos, you're going to listen to one of my podcasts, you're going to come to one of my presentations and hear me speak. The most value you're going to get from it is if you do two basic things, okay? You have to set aside your perceptions of the presenter. First of all, okay, because if you're only focused on what the person looks like, what they how they dress, how their voice sounds, and you're paying attention to all those trivial things, you're not really going to be focused and concentrating on the information being presented, what's actually being said, which is what's the most important, not the presenter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second thing that somebody has to do is they have to be aware of their own impulses, whether conscious or unconscious impulses, to reject information that's being presented based solely upon their initial emotional response to it. So in other words, if I see something and that makes you angry right off the bat, you say, oh, how could he have said that? Oh, that's such a harsh thing to say. You have to set aside your initial emotional reaction and say, well, why did that make me feel like that? Did that make me feel like that because I don't want to hear what that gentleman just said? Because I'm attached to it, that not being true, okay? Or being some other way that I would more like it to be, that I would rather it be? Or am I reacting like that because it's really not true, okay? And most people, they are just hearing the tone of the broadcast. They're not hearing the content of the broadcast because, again, that's a hallmark of the person being imbalanced toward the right brain. And this is done over many, 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 many years of the person's upbringing, of their development, of the type of media that they normally listen to. Again, if they've listened to a lot of TV media, a lot of television news, they're going to be in that modality. They're going to be in the modality of, well, I'm used to hearing a pleasant voice. Why would this person get upset? Why would they get angry? Why would they raise their voice and say, you need to really pay attention? This is a warning. Okay? That's not necessarily fear-mongering, you know?
Well, exactly. This brings me back to what we brought this up last time you were with us, Mark. Tough love. This doesn't mean that you're putting people down or speaking down to someone, but I mean, it's sometimes to add language and very focused intention in your communication to, you know, and I mean, this is in a nice way, as you said, slap someone over the face a little bit. I mean, this is it's a warning, as you're saying, wake up, you're heading towards a cliff, you know? I see all this right as an attempt to snap someone out of a hypnotic state, a trance state, you know, and sure, it will scare some away, as you said, but I think it might be more important in some instances to add energy and focus into the discussion, and I see nothing wrong with that approach at all.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the other points, unless you have anything more to add to that, by the way, Mark?
No, I mean, I'd like to shift gears and go into what some of these subtle deceptions themselves are in a brief way. We could maybe touch on each one. And I have like an 11th that I'd even like to add if we can get to it in time.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's take a short break here, Magda, because we're almost up at the top of the hour here. So why don't we give out some of the details, by the way. First of all, you can of course, give us a website and stuff, Mark. Sure. I don't know if you have any. Do you have any videos or books or anything out there right now? Have you released anything new? Obviously, the videos that we are talking about, we're going to have linked up so people can see the full, you know, presentation, and hope that people do and take the time to go through it, because there's a lot of good points in there, interesting, and I found it really entertaining, Mark. So good job on the videos, by the
sure
way.
I'll give my website resources and I'll tell you a little bit about what I have coming up. So my main website is whatonearthishappening.com. That's whatonearthishappening.com. There's a tremendous body of knowledge there in the form of largely audio and many videos as well. Okay. I highly recommend people, if they want to check out the full picture, if they want to get the full picture of the information that I put forward, go to my podcast section on my website. Go back to number one. There's multiple pages of podcast material. Go back to number one, and at your own pace, in your own time, follow through the progression of podcasts linearly from number one forward. Okay, and if you do that, I guarantee you, an entire new worldview will open up unto you if you go down that path. Okay, so that's my best recommendation. WhatOnEarthIsHappening.com. Go to the podcast section. Listen forward from number one forward in a linear progression. Don't skip. There's also many videos there that I've done over the years. There's two versions of my entire What on Earth is Happening video series. There's some videos about the occult involvement in the police and military and the symbolism that they use. I've done a couple of breakdowns of movies, allegories, spiritual allegories in Hollywood, like The Wizard of Oz and The Matrix trilogy. I've done some video content on disclosure and the moral issues involved in the disclosure issue. And I've done a short video on Tesla and some of the issues in the blocking of the emergence of free energy technology. And again, my most recent is the New Age Bullshit and the Suppression of the Sacred Masculine extended 7-hour podcast video. And the latest thing that will be coming out on my website in probably about a month is I have an extended video professionally produced by Richard Grove coming out on natural law. Richard came out with his whole team from Tragedy and Hope Communications to the natural law seminar that I recently gave in New Haven, Connecticut. He taped the whole thing and he generously offered not only to tape it, but to produce the video with all the slides in it and everything. And that's going to be being released probably within about a month's time or so. That'll be up on my website and on my YouTube channel. So that's the best place you can go for information. You could also check out my other website, the two conferences that I've hosted here in Philadelphia, co-hosted here in Philadelphia with many other great hosts. It was called the Free Your Mind Conference. We did Free Your Mind 1 and 2 in 2011 and 2013, respectively. And that information can be found at freeyourmindconference.com.
Great stuff. Looking forward to some of these videos coming out as well. All right, well, check out Mark's videos and his resources down on the website, whatonearthishappening.com. We'll have that linked up. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back with more.
Master of Servants.